أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، وصلى الله وسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، إن شاء الله we are going to resume the class on fiqh al-sharia using the popular book Akhdadi, inshallah. So today we are going to continue from where our first madam stopped, Madam Mikael. Inshallah, he stopped at Faslu on the Fara'idu Salah, which is the chapter that talks about the compulsory aspect of As-Salat. Nobody have to inform us about the importance of As-Salat as far as the deen is concerned, because we know that As-Salat is the pillar of the religion, the one pillar that differentiates this religion from every other religions. It is As-Salat. So there is no much discussions. Malam had already highlighted it to us before, so inshallah we'll just continue from where we have stopped, which is Faslu Fara'idu Salah. Kodiki, we are just going to take this up from here. Inshallah, he had already mentioned part of this before, but just as a revision, we'll go through it very, very briefly. Then we'll continue from where he has stopped until he returns, inshallah, to complete the book, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Na'am, Ma'alam says, An-Niyatu. The first thing that's compulsory in Salah is the Niyah. The intention is compulsory, as we already know, that there is no action that can be done, or no action is accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the proper intention. And then that intention must be for a particular salah. So they say, niyya as-salat al-mu'ayyana, niyyat as-salat al-mu'ayyana. The intention for a particular prayer, the intention for zuhur is zuhur, the intention for asr is asr, and so on and so forth. Then the next thing, Malan said, "Wa takbiratul ihram," which is the first takbir. That first takbir, you say Allahu Akbar in the beginning of the prayer. That takbir itself is compulsory, and one must do it properly. Inshallah, we'll talk about that as we move. Say, Malan, next thing, said, "Wal qiyamu laha," and standing while doing that takbir. So this shows you that you have to stand facing the Qibla. Of course, you must have done your ablution and be free from all forms of impurities, yourself, your body, and the place in which you are going to pray. Then you stand facing the Qibla properly on your two feet, if you are able to do so, inshallah. Then you will raise your hand towards the ear, which is one of the things that Sheikh Ibrahim Nias radiallahu anhu had taught us when he came to Nigeria for the first time. And then he also wrote a book on that, which is the book of Raf'ul Malam. Amman Rafa'a wa Qabada Iqtida'an bi Sayyidil Anam. So that book is also a very wonderful book that teaches the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also describes the salat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam from his foremost lover, Sheikh Ibrahim Nias radiallahu anhu. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even grant us the ability, maybe one of these days, to also look into that book and see what golden lessons we can learn from it, inshallah. So, takbiratul ihram is also compulsory, inshallah. Then wal qiyamu laha, standing while doing that. Then wal fatihatu wal qiyamu laha. The next thing that is compulsory is reciting salatul fatiha and then standing while doing so. Reciting salatul fatiha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already said that there is no prayer for anyone who does not recite al fatiha. That makes it compulsory. So, everybody must recite al fatiha. Although there is an issue, especially with the issue of Maliki Fiqhi, whereby Malams will have the idea that no, you don't have to recite Fatiha if you're praying behind an Imam and the Imam is reciting out loud. Amma, in any case, we pray that inshallah, whichever one we do, will be good for us. Either you recite the Fatiha or you listen only to the Imam, since the Imam is reciting out loud, inshallah, that should suffice. Allah alam. What ruku', and then the next thing is bowing. Bowing is in the position of placing your two hands upon your knees, if you are able to do so. I mean, for a person who doesn't have any physical abridgment or let's say anything that stops him from completely following this, inshallah. So you place your both hands upon your knee while bending over. That is a position called the bowing. Now you don't want to overbend so that your stomach will be touching your lap. At the same time, you don't also want to bend haphazardly so that you're still kind of still standing or halfway reclined. So that's the reason why they say that is your back should be flat. What it means by flat is not that you can make your back to be flat like a table. It's just that you should try as much as possible not to overbend and not to be half bent. You just bend at least at an angle of 90 degrees and you stay in that position, which is a position called al-rukur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to become amongst those who perform the rukur. Then wal-raf'u minhu, and then rising from the rukur is also compulsory. You don't just go straight from the rukur to the sujood. This is also one of the reasons why they used to talk to people who used to say that there is nothing like hadith, ahlul Quran ko. They say that there is nothing like hadith. So all these people, they are usually told, okay, if you say there is nothing like hadith, then why are you standing up back from rukur? Because if you read the whole Quran, there is no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should stand up back from the rukur. From the rukur, just go straight to sujood. So that's part of the methodologies that is used to give them answers. However, coming back to our issue, standing up from the rukur, insha'Allah, is also very, very, very compulsory. And one must ensure that you stand up completely and return back to your standing position before you proceed for sujood, inshallah. Then Ma'alam now said, after that was sujood and then the prostration, putting your head on the ground. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to prostrate on 9 bones, 7 bones and 1 cartilage. The 7 bones are the bone of the forehead, the bones of the 2 palms, the bones of the knees, and the bones of the 2 feet. So all these bones must be on the floor for a proper sujood, and then the 1 cartilage is the cartilage on the nose. So all these 8 parts of your body should be touching the ground ideally during the sujood, for your sujood to be very, very proper and correct. To say Malan Sayachi Alal Jubahati, that is prostrating upon your forehead, you know, wal raf'u minhu, and then rising up from that as well. Wal i'tidal. Al-i'tidal is for you to properly gauge everything in the salah. Make sure everything is properly gauged, correct, so that you won't be hurrying too much in a particular aspect and then staying in sujood for the rest of the day, and then you stand up again and then you're not. You just have to make sure that everything is gauged, and then you should be very, very upright and straight. Then what to ma'nina, this is also compulsory. That is for you to calm down, for you to have what do you call it, you say your mind is down, for you to have sakina, peace. Pray with tuma'nina, that is yani your without being in a hurry and without being over excited. Just pray with your mind down, with calmness. Then what tawtib bain al fara'idha, and then also arranging this compulsory aspect of salah is also a compulsory thing. You cannot just start praying, then go to sujood, then come back to ruku and say, I did all. No, you have to pray it in accordance to the way it has come. Then was salam, and also doing salam at the end of the prayer, which is by saying, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And then this can be said in different ways according to the ma'alam. Mu'allim, but we want to disturb ourselves with that, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah is very, very authentic and sufficient for us. And I'm not trying to say that the others are not authentic too. They might be, but then inshallah you can pick anyone you want. But the correct statement of it is assalamu alaikum, bima'na alifun wa lam al-ma'rifa added in front of the salam. Many people used to say salamu alaikum. To amma this salamu alaikum is not narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the salam. So you can, it might be Arabically correct or grammatically correct to say salamun alaykum, amma not in salat. In the salat, what Rasulullah used to say and what was repeated from him is assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum, not salamun alaykum or salamu alaykum or assalamun alaykum. That's not even correct grammatically. You can say assalamun alaykum, and inshallah you will learn more about that in our Nahu class. Inshallah. So you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. at least this one is compulsory. Then wajulusuhu alladhi yuqarinuhu, and then the sitting that follows this salam follows. So which is the last julus kena. So that last julus is compulsory in salat. However, every other julus, every other julus in the salat is considered as sunnah, especially the one in between two raka'ah. In between raka'ah, yes, for the compulsory raka'ah. Maybe that has four raka'ah or three raka'ah. So those compulsory prayers in between that sitting doesn't have to, it's not compulsory, that's what I'm trying to say. Then wal julusuhu alladhi yuqarinuhu, this is also compulsory. Then we move. Washurut. Now aw washaratu, malam is now talking about the conditions. The first of all of an-niyyah, the condition of an-niyyah, of the intention, muqarinatuha li takbiratil ihram, is that it should tally with takbiratul ihram. It should follow takbiratul ihram. The intention might be voiced out, or it might be said in words with your tongue, or you can simply place it in your heart. Whichever one you do is correct and acceptable sharia'ly, insha'Allah, then this niyyah must be following, or it should be tallying together with what? At takbiratul ihram, insha'Allah. So, then wa sunnatuha, and the sunnah aspect of salat, number one, is al-iqama, making the iqama before you start your prayer, which is after standing up uprightly, you now start by saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, qad qamati salah, qad qamati salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. So this is what is called al-iqama. And unfortunately, you find that many people do not used to do it, especially most females. However, it is a sunnah aspect of the salat, actually. The actual salat itself begins with the takbiratul ihram. So it is very, very good for us to actually imbibe this particular sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the iqama. And also, it's good for us to also repeat the qamati salah twice, as it is one of the things that is brought by Sheikh Ibrahim Niyaz anhu when he came to Nigeria. During his first visit that we talked about earlier. So that's repeating it twice is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Saying it once is also a sunnah reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the stronger one opinion is with repeating it twice, inshallah. Then was suratul lati ba'd al-fatiha. Fatiha itself is compulsory, but the surah that is recited after al-fatiha, that surah itself is what? It is sunnah to recite a surah. You don't have to recite a complete surah. You could recite at least three ayats, inshallah. وَالْقِيَامُ لَهَا, and then standing while reciting that as well. وَالسِّرُّ فِي مَا يَسُرُّ فِيهِ, and then reciting silently for the prayer in which you are to recite silently, which is the prayers of Zuhur, Asr, and the last rak'ah of Maghrib, and the last rak'ah of Isha. So these ones you have to recite with silent tone. On a silent tone, your tongue should move. That is the meaning of recitation. If you close your mouth, you're not reciting, you're only thinking. So you have to move your lips and your tongue, and you shouldn't voice out your recitation, inshallah. So that is what is one of the sunnah aspects of the prayer. The next is wal jahru fi ma yujharu fi, reading out loud for the prayers that should be read out loud, which is the prayer of Al-Fajr, the first two rak'ah of Maghrib and Isha. Then وَسَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, then saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ while rising كَنَنْ from your ruku'. You say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ سُنَّةٌ إِلَّا الْأُولَى, and every other takbir in the salat is a sunnah takbir except the first takbir, which is a compulsory takbir, as has been mentioned. So every other takbir counts also as a sunnah. Then Ma'alam now continues, say, what tashahudan, and also the two tashahud, which is wal julus lahuma, and then sitting down together with them. So those two tashahud, sitting down together with those two tashahud in a prayer, especially if the prayer has four raka'ah or three raka'ah, to sitting down during those two tashahud is counted as sunnah, and then reciting the tashahud itself is sunnah. However, sitting down for the last one before saying the taslim is compulsory, as I've mentioned earlier. Then, وَتَقْدِيمُ الْفَاتِحَةِ عَلَى السُّورَةِ, and then reciting Fatiha before you recite the surah, sunnah. وَالتَسْلِيمَةُ الثَّانِيَةُ, and then repeating the taslim second time, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, first one compulsory. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, second one, sunnah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you can add the third one, which is also sunnah. Repeating it to the right hand side compulsory, to the front sunnah, to the left sunnah. Right hand side compulsory, to the left sunnah, whichever one you do. That is for the ma'mum, for the people who have been led. Wal jahru bit taslima, and also saying it out, al-taslimat al-wajibati, saying out the compulsory taslim, which is the first one here now. Saying it out loud so that people will hear that you have completed your prayers, inshallah. And wassalatu ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and also doing as-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the tashahud is also compulsory. Astaghfirullah is also sunnah. You usually recite Salat al-Ibrahimiyya. However, it is not a thing that can be said to invalidate the prayer if you do not recite Salat al-Ibrahimiyya. However, Shaykh Ibrahim anhu always teaches us to put everything in its place. Everything in its place. Salat al-Ibrahimiyya's place is in the tashahud. So you should try to recite Salat al-Ibrahimiyya in any of the variant forms it comes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid, wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. And the rest of that, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita wa rahimta wa barakta ala sayyidina Ibrahim, and the rest of that like that. Anyway it comes, there are different riwayats, but in any way it comes, reciting it at least once is sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, according to Ma'la. Then wasujudu ala al-anfi, aw that is wal kaffaini wal rukbataini, and then doing your sujood upon the nose. The first one, which is composed, is doing your sujood upon the forehead. Cool. So this time now, he now included what we've already mentioned to make the sujood to be complete. Making your sujood on your nose, making your sujood on your two palms, making your sujood on your two knees, and then the tip of your two feet. So all these parts of your body should be touching the ground for your sujood to be complete. Then was sutratu li ghayri al-ma'mum, and then adopting a sutra for a person who is not led in a prayer. A sutra is an object that you place in your front, maybe like an arm length or two arm lengths away from you, so that people who are passing your front should not pass in between you and the sutra, but can pass outside the sutra. It is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to place a sutra in his front while reciting the prayer. And the limits for the size of a sutra, according to what Malam says, he says, وَأَقَلُّهَا غِلَزٌ غِلَزُ رُمْحٍ وَطُولِ زِرَاعٍ طَاهِرٍ ثَابِتٍ غَيْرُ مُشَوِّشٍ. He said, وَسُتْرَةُ لِغَيْرِ الْمَأْمُومِ, that is the sutra for a person who is not being led by an imam. If you are led by an imam, you are behind the imam. The imam is a sutra. The imam is a sutra. So people can pass in between you and the imam. However, they cannot pass in front of the imam directly if there is a sutra in front of the imam. Then Ma'alan said, وَأَقَلُّهَا, the least thing you can make a sutra is a spear. The spear you use in fighting, talking about the thickness and also the prominence. So that is the littlest thing you can use as a sutra. So maybe if you're used to using maybe your handset, for instance, you can see it's not sufficient. If you're using maybe a pencil or a biro or something like that, you can see it's not sufficient. You have to get something thicker than that, bigger than that, something that can be what? Something that is, you can keep it, you said, an arm length away from you. And what you're using as a sutra must be pure, it must be firm, and it should not be something that can distract you, inshallah. So we'll continue from fada'iluha, which is the fada'il aspect of a salah, inshallah, if Allah preserve us to witness the next time, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وأجمعين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.